Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to Memorial Day edition of Blog Talk Radio, Marketing Pulpit in Nashville, New York. This for you is Julie Dennis. Shipman, 73 degrees and sunny here in Brooklyn, New York, and I apologize for the intro. We use computerized boards, and I can't physically control the audio. And oftentimes, not even a level, so I don't know what's going on. I have two carts booted up, and they're both just cycling. So if you hear a lot of noise at some point during this intro, it is because Blog Talk is down on a holiday. It's Memorial Day, as we know, and we celebrate those who have given their lives in various causes of this country, and in many cases other countries. I was planning on, for some reason, I just had the desire. I know it's not feasible simply because of the sheer amount of traffic, but I had a desire to go to the cemetery. I always admired and revered, actually, the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, and I wanted to get over there to watch Changing of the Guard and, you know, the pomp and circumstance, or ceremony rather, associated with that event. But again, you know, it's D.C. and it's a holiday weekend, and you have folks from in and out of town that are over there, and there's no parking unless you want to walk miles and miles and miles, which I'm not inclined to do. It's going to be relatively hot today, and so I'll just say do the show and give my reverence like that. You know, we've been in continuous wars in this country for quite some time, and serving as a warrior in the cause of the king, or in this case the republic, has always been a noble endeavor. Really has, you know, being a warrior, because you're giving your life, you're literally sacrificing your life for someone else's cause. You might not share the cause. A lot of persons in the Army, Marines, Air Force, Coast Guard, Navy, do not share the goals of the persons that put them in harm's way, but they do it because that's their calling. They signed up to serve the country, and they do it admirably in many cases. In some cases, not so much so, which segues into another situation caused by Chump the Brain Dead comic Connor Bark, a.k.a. Clueless Clown, who wants to pardon numerous soldiers who have been convicted under the Uniform Code of Military Justice. Very, very harsh body of laws for war crimes. So he's basically saying that you can, you know, commit murder under the guise of warfare, and you know, you're going to be fine. At least during my administration, it's absolutely outrageous. It spits in the face of everything we find honorable and noble about the profession of being a warrior. And again, it just shows that the guy has never served. He absolutely without conscience, without ethics, without a shred of dignity, and how someone like this ascended to the highest office in the land is absolutely emblematic of the deep set bigotry that I talk about often on this show. There is no other explanation for it, folk. If you want to try to provide one, that's fine. I understand that. You know, Noam Chomsky gave a really erudite explanation, you know, basically distilling it down to classism, you know, where Trump is just a figurehead for, you know, persons in this country who have basically brought the country. And I've always argued that point. I don't disagree with that. Trump is a convenient tool, a foil for these folk, you know, playing on the base fears and creating wedge issues, you know, with sensitive cultural divisions that are emerging in the country. And he plays on this not admirably, he plays on it cleverly. You know, he's not a smart man by any mean stretch of the imagination. He's wily, like a feral animal. You know, he knows, you know, when danger is lurking, predators and that sort of thing. And, you know, doesn't devise strategies, just, you know, knee-jerk primal reaction to fear and danger, which is what makes the man dangerous, you know. Beyond the pardoning of these soldiers, airmen, Marines, whoever they were, that committed these war crimes, he wants to also declassify sensitive intelligence from the I-5. The I-5 were, you know, a group of countries that are close allies of us that share sensitive intelligence. Intelligence, and, you know, people don't understand intelligence, and let me just break it down because, you know, it goes with here with this topic and with Memorial's Day because, you know, without intelligence, the military cannot operate. Intelligence, human, what they we're not talking necessarily about signal intelligence, although we might get into that, but human intelligence is the process of human beings going out and then gathering intelligence. It's that simple. Now, the means is not so simple because it often entails committing crimes or compromising people through blackmail, you know, extortion, coercion, that sort of thing. And so that's what makes spying such a dangerous game because oftentimes, in a lot of countries, China, Russia, you know, you get caught and you get killed. It's that simple. It's no, you know, you go on trial and you get due process of law. No, you get sent into a room with a depression in the middle of the room, and someone behind the door as you enter comes up behind you, puts a gun behind your ear and blows your brains out. It's that simple. So by Trump giving Barr, who has proven to be nothing more than a shill for the Trump administration, a shameless one at that, unfettered authority, we've never seen this before, to declassify virtually anything he wants to in an effort to gather revenge. You know, Sarah Saunders, you know, Huckabee Saunders, is, you know, I could do an entire show on this person. Just shameful. I don't even know where she came from. I know she's the daughter of a former Arkansas government governor Huckabee. I believe he was in the Senate as well. I'm not. Don't quote me as gospel on that. But he's also a gospel preacher. So I don't know where this woman came from. All I know is that she is related to him. But at any rate, she got on Chuck Todd's show yesterday. And basically said, no, it's perfectly fine. And I mean, it's just, you know, the mitigation of what they're gonna, you know. In other words, Chuck Todd was trying to explain to her that, well, the president has already said that these people are accused, have engaged in treasonous behavior. So, you know, if he's already come to the conclusion, then, you know, the attorney general, what if the attorney general exonerates him? And so she said that basically, well, that can't happen. We know that they were involved. So Chuck Todd, again, it leads to the obvious question is, well, if you feel that they're already guilty, then what's the sense? So this is the point I'm trying to make is this is nothing more than an effort, again, by this narcissistic person. You know, I'm being kind of respectful. We are on radio, albeit internet radio, to extract revenge against certain high-profile persons in the FBI who were admittedly caught with their pants down. I mean, I can't. You know, I thought what Comey did to Hillary Clinton. I'm not a Clinton fan. But I think that what he did to her was outrageous. It was really, really outrageous. You know, it was not his position to go on television and tell them that they had reopened an investigation on the eve of the election. That just did not make sense unless you cannot, all his explanations notwithstanding. And so he was fired for cause. I mean, you know, I absolutely, you know, agree with the decision. Terminated his employee. I mean, that was outrageous. You know, Loretta Lynch had compromised herself by talking to Clinton on the tarmac or in the plane for 15, 20 minutes, whatever they did about their grandchildren. You know, and this is a case where people don't know how to say no. You know, I know how to say no, and I get no's a lot, so I'm comfortable, trust me, with telling people no. So when Clinton approached her, you know, as Attorney General, no, she was overseeing an open investigation to his wife's conduct and, you know, various, you know, the Clinton Foundation, Benghazi, and on and on and on and on. She should have simply excused herself. Well, thank you, Mr. President. Nice to see you. Bye. And that's it. You know, Clinton is, garrulous, you know, affable, you know, and he likes to talk, and that's especially if it, you know, if he knows the person, you know. But you know, she knew that was going to come. So, and then they were, in any rate, this gave Comey the opening. But he was told not to do it, and this is the other part of it. So he was insubordinate. So there is no job on earth where you could be insubordinate and keep your job, you know, unless the boss just likes you or is willing to overlook it. And in this particular case, Loretta Lynch and whoever the deputy was at the time, it wasn't Rod Rosenstein, but someone else, from what I understand from the story, had told him not to do it. And as FBI director, he is subordinate to the Attorney General of the United States of America. And he went on out there and did it anyway and threw the election to Trump, you know, which was very close at that point. But, you know, when he did that, then, you know, all the balls fell for Trump and you know, basically collapsed the Clinton president, you know, her hopes for the presidency, you know, because I think we were stunned. But I think, you know, it was inevitable. You know, we were stunned on November, you know, when the tally came in the morning that, you know, it had gone through, I think, a collective shock. So, so Trump, the brain dead comic con barker, a clueless clown, not being chivalrous or you know, conciliatory, you know, taking his win and just basically, you know, going about his business, he doesn't want a victory lap. He wants to utterly crush these people, and I think that's what's going to hurt him. And because, you know, and this is the other part about it that I can't understand. I don't know what they do know about Trump, but I can't imagine that you know, because there is evidence that James Clapper did an interview with, I believe it was PBS, you know, sometime last week, and basically said that the dossier, or the dossier that Trump continues to claim is fraudulent, you know, has a lot of credible evidence in it, and we know that the Golden Shower is true. That is absolutely true. So I don't quite know how he's going to, you know, or what the intelligence community's response, rather, trying to gather my thoughts here, because it's just so much is going to respond if there is going to be pushback, because these people are his appointees. And from what we know about Trump, the brain dead comic, Conor Bar, K.K. Clueless Clown, he values loyalty above all. He doesn't reciprocate it, or return it, rather, but he demands it from others, you know, especially his subordinates. And conventional wisdom suggests that there's going to be a tremendous pushback, you know, against the wholesale declassification of some of this very sensitive intelligence from, you know, the I-5. Again, those are, you know, Austria, Britain, you know, GS-5, Germany, you know, Israel, the major intelligence gathering organizations, you know, state-sponsored, obviously, that the United States has relations with. These people simply aren't going to share intelligence. Just like with the Iran deal, everybody's saying, oh, it was such great, he pulled out of it. But you gave your word, and, you know, you can't, you know, the problem is with this is that you cannot break a promise by another president. This is what people don't get. They just refuse to get this, that, you know, our relationships in the world are built on the full faith and credit of the United States keeping its word. And him coming in and breaking these trade deals and these treaties and agreements and declassifying this information, it's like a bull in a china shop. The man literally does not know what he is doing. And the danger, and, you know, it was another pundit on Washington Week who also suggested that, you know, he's pushing the boundaries of the executive, you know, which is Article 2. It derives its authority from Article 2 of the Constitution to extreme levels, and he might throw it out of kilter because the executive branch is answerable to the Congress, or Article 1, which derives its power from Article 1 of the Constitution. I mean, you don't have to be a constitutional lawyer to understand this. I mean, you just have to have a rudimentary understanding of civics. And, you know, the courts, which derives its power from Article 3 of the Constitution, has, you know, said time and again, at least in the last two rulings, that, yeah, we agree with the Congress. You are going to give up this information. So now I was reading an article. It wasn't an article. It was more like a blurb, a tease. So I have to, and I was trying to get it in preparation for the show, but I had a couple of errands to run because I have some meetings tomorrow, which are, you know, not in the area, so I have to travel. And I have some time-sensitive correspondence that I had to respond to and some things that I had to return. So I had to run those errands this morning because Staples, you know, I don't have an office anymore. This is the problem. I literally packed everything up, and even more is getting packed up because I just want to, you know, I want to prepare, you know, God willing, for my eventual relocation to the Eastern Shore. So at any rate, these attempts by Trump to utilize the office corrupted, really. I mean, because that's what it is. I mean, it's really basically Barack Obama wouldn't have been able to get away with it, or nor would anyone else would have been able to get away with a fraction of what this guy is doing. I mean, it's just incredible. And this is what we talk about, you know, in this country when we say, you know, that, you know, certain people can get away with stuff, whereas others cannot. And this is a prime example of a man being able to corrupt the office of the presidency of the United States to achieve his selfish aims. And, you know, we just have to, and I've been wondering about this for a while. At what point, and I know, you know, and this is his argument, ironically, that this is treasonous conduct and these people need to be punished. And who are they to, quote unquote, like Barr said, unfortunately, you know, spy on my campaign? Well, there were credible evidence that you were, you know, trying to get assistance from the Russians and lied about it. So it's just incredible, man. I mean, you know, the stupidity of people and naivete or a combination of all above is just, it's just incredible. The man is unfit. He should not be in office. And, you know, the apologists for this guy, black, white, checkered, calico, and anything in between, it's just, it's extraordinary because we have come to a tipping point with this guy. I mean, we really have. Because, you know, from what I understand today, the intelligence and wasn't the Armed Services Intelligence and another committee. I can't pull it up right now because I'm on a lag connection. Has agreed. This is what I don't understand about the Democrats. I really don't. It is so incredibly frustrating. Why would they agree to push back enforcement of subpoenas that they won? It's just these people are so incredible. This is why the progressive wing of the Democratic Party is trying to push for an ouster of these dinosaurs. Because every head of these committees said, and I believe it was Maxine Waters' committee, and the other guy, I can't think of his name, Neil, I believe, from California, that agreed to these delays. And I'm like, for what? What is the purpose? You won. And this is what I don't understand about the Democrats refusing to press their advantage when they have it. Republicans would have been in that position. They would have pressed their advantage. Look at Mitch McConnell. He is holding up everything and ramrodding through these ultra-conservative hacks to lifetime appointments on these Article III courts and review courts, you know, U.S. Courts of Appeal, which is where most cases end. They never get to the Supreme Court. Ramrodding these ultra-conservative hacks that clearly are barely qualified for these offices. It's like, well, Gorsuch was qualified, but this other numbskull from D.C. District, you know, his temperament showed in those hearings that he's nothing more than a privileged white boy that, you know, felt that he was entitled to sit on the Supreme Court of the United States, you know, and you got the Chief Judge Roberts sitting on ethics complaints about him, you know, it's just, it's, you know, this is, the last gasp of white nationalism in this country. I wrote an article about it, a piece. It was a very short blob. I think I can't post it on Twitter simply because even though Twitter has increased, obviously the piece is going to exceed 140, 100, whatever it is now. So I'm not even hoping it's not true. I know the Democrats rolled over, and I, for the life of me, I don't get it. You know, they always, and you know what it is? And I write a lot about this also, and I get a lot of, you know, exchanges. Because I had this problem once, you know, with when I initially thought that the Daily Kos would be a good place to land. And it was full of these white liberals, which Malcolm X has always warned about, because they're nothing more than conservatives, you know, with the frown turned upside down, you know, so they smile in your face, but they really, you know, because some of the comments that I would get, man, I'm like, wait a minute, I'm on the Daily Kos or the Communist Manifesto or some right-wing, rabid, arch-conservative, I kid you not, man. I mean, you know, and it's true 110%, and I always post this video, Malcolm X, about 50 years ago, where he was talking about this very issue that white liberals are the most dangerous because they're smiling your face. Just like Joe Biden, everybody's touting Joe Biden as the next coming of, you know, the sliced right bread, you know, no pun intended. You know, Joe Biden is white liberal, and I say that using the pejorative. You know, he's nothing more than a white boy, you know, who feels comfortable around blacks, and we have a lot of them. And we sit around, you know, some Negroes skinning and grinning, cooning and buffooning, you know, scratching where it don't itch and laughing where it ain't funny. And shuffling, and this guy, you know, ordered in some of the most draconian law during the variety of administration that he was in when he was in the Senate for years and years and years and years, from Delaware, the armpit of America, you know, the smallest, you know, and worst state in the United States of America. It shouldn't even be a state, really. It's just a peninsula that splits between Jersey and Maryland, you know. And basically, it's nothing more than an extended state for the DuPonts, and I can get into that in another, you know, because that's who runs the state still to this day, and their heirs, you know, not necessarily them, but certainly the heirs. So, it's about time to wrap it up on this Memorial Day weekend, and we've enjoyed being with you, and we hope that you go out and pay your respect to soldiers, sailors, Marine, airmen, soldiers, Coast Guardsmen, lost their lives in the cause of this country. And one thing that we fought for is the liberty to say what we want to say under the First Amendment of the United States of America. Have a blessed day.